Will you join me now in prayer? Loving Spirit, womb of life, source of being, breath that moves beyond barriers, closed doors, locks, and walls, and all of the many obstacles that we may put in place to keep you out or to hold us in. We gather together in this room to focus on life, transformation, resurrection. We give thanks for the sacrament of being together, of breathing together. Spirit of mystery and possibility moving among us. Grant us an awareness of your presence here this morning, moving in us, with us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Fear, the thing that contains all too many of us from time to time, the thing that sets us apart from one another, that builds walls, that locks us in, that locks us inside of ourselves, preventing connection, keeping us from touching, from feeling, keeping us from being a whole human being. Fear is the thing that takes us apart and tears us apart. And that evening, the disciples were afraid. They were sore afraid and they were in shock, gathered together in community, gathering strength and comfort from one another, sorting out their beliefs, kind of like what we do in church. When only days earlier they had been celebrating the Passover, which involves the ritual and ceremonial consumption of at least 4 cups of wine. So, just days earlier, they were all partying together. They were celebrating, wandering through the garden. They were singing songs of praise when suddenly things went south. The cops arrived. Roman soldiers and their rabbi was arrested and taken into custody and then stunningly sentenced to death by crucifixion. And some of them had watched as he was tortured, brutalized, and put to death violently and painfully. It was definitely not what any of them had expected or how any of them had imagined their time together with him might end, which only added to their shock, their stress, their trauma, their anxiety. They were very afraid that the same fate might await. How many times do we allow our fears to lock us up, to lock us in, and to lock us out of life? How many times do we allow our fears to impound our sense of being and our very humanity? And what of the times when we have tried to keep God locked out of certain places in our lives? We huddle fearfully behind locked doors, full of fear that we might be found, but still, God finds us. God enters that space. And if we allow it, grants us deep peace and abundant grace in the span of a single breath. A touch of belief and the presence of God among us. But Thomas wasn't there. He missed the moment. He missed church that day. He wasn't there, and so he missed the opportunity to encounter God. He missed the power of the moment simply because he was not present. And how often do we miss the sacrament, the sacredness of encountering the holy in the moments of our lives simply because we are not present in those moments? Especially when something as ordinary as making sandwiches for someone you love, or taking a piece of bread and dipping it into a cup can be a sacrament, a holy act in the presence of God. We talk about doubting Thomas. Beloved community, there are people in this world, people who will not believe, people who cannot believe in the existence of anything foreign to them, strange to them, until they touch it, until they feel it. There are those for whom climate change will not exist for them. They will deny it exists until they feel it, until they touch it, or until it touches them in a way that cannot be denied. There are people in this world who do not believe that gays and lesbians exist as anything other than a conscious choice because they have not felt it themselves. They have not experienced it. There are indeed people in our own communities who do not believe that bi exists. They deny it because they have not experienced it. They have not felt it for themselves. There are people who deny that trans people authentically exist because they have not experienced the condition of being trans. Because the trans experience has not entered the locked room of their heart, the closed space of their mind, because it has not touched them or their life. There are people in our own communities who deny the condition of being gender fluid, of being gender non-binary, because simply they have never felt it themselves, never touched it, experienced it, or been touched by it. Men who have been sexually assaulted, women who have been sexually assaulted, how many do we disbelieve simply because we have never felt it? We have never experienced it ourselves, never been touched by it ourselves. And there are those who deny God because they have never experienced the divine, have never touched God or been touched by God because they may not have been present in the moment, because they may not have opened themselves to the presence of mystery. The cure for denial is feeling, and feeling is a part of the path toward transformation. And some of the obstacles to transformation are things like denial and false assumptions and rigidity, a refusal to be open to something we might not otherwise consider even possible. A refusal to open ourselves to that one thing that changes everything. Denial disconnects us from the world. Denial disconnects us from reality, from science, from divinity, from God, from each other, and from ourselves. Compassion, feeling, touch, empathy reconnects us. Something amazing happens when we experience compassion, when we feel the pain of others, when we touch their painful places. When we touch their wounds and their painful places touch us. Feeling those places in others is what compassion is all about. Now, there's actually a scientific process at work here, the compassionate connection, the vagus nerve, the one that meanders and wanders, connecting our brain to our heart, to our breathing, and to our tummies. Breath can actually activate that nerve. And you likely have experienced the activity of this nerve bundle, although you may not have realized it or been aware of it at the time. That warm feeling of expansion in your chest when something's going on and you connect with someone, your spirit is lifted, and it even causes tears to sometimes reflectively swell in our eyes. We recognize and experience a connection. Perhaps the very same feeling that may have caused Thomas to suddenly exclaim, "My Savior and my God." I think Thomas has gotten a bad rap because of this story. In this story, he is a vehicle for those followers yet to come, we among them who may also have doubts and questions. Do you have doubts and questions? Can I hear an amen? Because I know I certainly do. I think doubts and questions are good. They are how we learn. They are how we sort out the things that we experience as real, as opposed to the things that we have been taught or told. And I think doubts and questions are so much better than fear. Fear and denial. A touch of God. Can we believe in the existence of something that we don't understand without touching it, without feeling it? Amelia Barr said, human relations are built on feelings, not on reason or knowledge. And feeling is not an exact science. Like all spiritual qualities, it has a vagueness of greatness about it. A vagueness of greatness. Don't miss the moment by not being present. Just as André Debus in our contemporary reading today wrote of being present in the otherwise very small space of each moment, each one a sacrament. And what is a sacrament but a rite, a ritual, a moment sacred and holy, one that infers blessing or grace on those who receive it. It's an act of hospitality. It's a smile. It's a touch of greeting. It's a welcome. Whatever has our focus in the moment may indeed be a sacrament, a holy moment, if we receive it as one, if we feel it as one, if we open ourselves to it as one. When I come here, it is not simply driving from place to place. It is my love moving by automobile from a place where others are not to a place where others are. Even if I don't feel it or acknowledge it, it is a sacrament. If I remember it, then I feel it too. Then I know what I am doing in the presence of God. Simple moments, acts of love and caring, can open the locked spaces within us and free us and liberate us to experience a newness of life. Without compassion, without empathy, it can be hard for us to believe a person's experience until we feel what they feel. Can we indeed believe in the existence of something that we don't understand without touching it, without feeling it like Thomas? I have to confess, my mind goes to theoretical physicists at this point. And I have a strange mind. Theoretical physicists must constantly wrestle with the things that they do not understand. Black holes, quasars, the nature of the universe, the elemental building blocks of matter. And it takes a lot of faith, a whole lot of faith, in the belief that the universe, on some level, makes sense. I want to share an interesting passage by Albert Einstein that I came across this week. Quote, a human being is part of the whole, called by us the universe. A part limited in time and space. We experience ourselves, our thoughts, and our feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of our consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us, locking us into our personal desires and our beliefs, and limiting our affection for only the few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion, to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in all of its beauty, complexity, and mystery. End quote. Yet even so, into our locked rooms we go. Our closed minds, driven by fear for what we believe is our own safety. But there is no isolated self. If we acknowledge our own brokenness, our own pieces, then our brokenness enables us to move beyond the partitions that segregate self from the world, allowing us passage beyond the locked doors that we hide behind and others hide behind as well. Air. Air is all around us. Although we don't see it, or often feel it, or are even aware that we feel it, air is all around us. And it actually fills us. Although mostly, we just don't think about it. We are unaware of it because we don't think about it. But when we think about it, when our attention is drawn to it, when we focus on it, just like now, when we actually see it, maybe a balloon full of it, or when we experience it in the wind blowing, or when we need it, when we become short of breath, when the experience of breath itself is made clear to us as being nothing short of life itself. It is something always there that we mostly never pay attention to until we do. God is like that. And rituals and sacraments are designed to make us aware. And those sacraments are within our grasp, our touch, at any time. We can reach out and touch them at any time we are aware of them, aware and present, aware of what we are doing in the presence of God. Some people keep themselves in locked rooms or keep their beliefs in locked rooms, when often all it takes is the spirit of humanity to enter locked hearts and closed minds like a breath of fresh air. The breath we all share, and the spirit to encourage others to be present, to listen to the sacrament of their own heart beating and their own breath, and to hear the words, "Peace be with you." And so may it be.